Hello, Judge Ginsburg.
Yes, sir.
Hello, good morning. It is an honor to speak with you. Thank you for taking some time out on this.
Well, it's a pleasure for me to be able to talk about my favorite subject, Ken.
Where are you right now? Are you in D.C.?
I'm just across the river in Virginia.
Okay. A more or less perfect union, three-part series dealing with the Constitution. What led to you getting involved in this? How did you get involved in this?
Well, the company that produced it, Free to Choose Network, approached me about the possibility of doing something on the Constitution, because the mission of Free to Choose is to not just produce public television programming, which they do, but to use that programming for middle and high school education. And there's such a need for materials for teaching civics around the country, and civics has been downgraded in schools, eliminated in many school systems. And so a major objective here was not only to reach the public television audience, which we're doing first, but to create materials that could be used in the in schools for civics and history. And I'm really pleased to know that 170,000 teachers who had signed up to receive materials have now gotten the excerpts that we used from the show and some critical thinking questions for discussion and things like that. They've been sent out electronically and are being used in schools now. So that's a long-term mission here for a more or less perfect union. And that's why I was keen to get involved and help produce it.
Judge Ginsburg, why do we not teach civics in school anymore? Why has it been downgraded?
You know, that's a good question. And I can only speculate, but I think it's a combination of some things that were more trendy and popular being introduced, perhaps, and taking its place. Also, a generation of teachers who are the alumni of the 1960s, the university world, who are perhaps very cynical about civics, about government. But I'm not entirely sure. But it's clear that there's now some backlash, some multi-front effort to restore civics. I think Sandra Day O'Connor, Justice O'Connor, when she retired from the court and started iCivics, did a great service by making a lot of the public aware that there was a problem here. And Free to Choose and others have stepped up to see what we can do. And I'm really pleased, Ken, to know, and I've learned this only in the last, it's happened only in the last few months, the governor of Florida has directed that every high school there will now have to offer civics again. And the state of Illinois just recently, within the last few weeks, passed a statute with the same requirement in it. So there's some counter movement here to try to get civics back in the schools. We have, you know, I think that's because in large part people see polling results, or if they're teachers, they see living results of an ignorant generation, young people who have no idea how our government works, where it came from, why the Constitution, what the Constitution provides, and why. And why that really puts our liberties at risk if people don't understand that the Constitution is the law that governs those who govern us, and we need to hold them accountable to the Constitution. And when the public isn't alert to that, our liberties are eroded by ambitious politicians and a rather complacent Supreme Court that has acquiesced in a lot of the overbearing decisions that come out of the legislative and executive branches. So this is an urgent public need.
Now, I wanted to go into that just a little bit with you, because there was I've seen the previews and some of the excerpts from the programs, and I think it was Jonathan Turley who said, from George Washington University, who asked, is it idiot-proof? We have proven that time and time again. And it comes to my mind that, you know, it's idiot-proof only in the sense that if idiots don't become involved and get into power, that generally, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, the Constitution is people. And if people get into power who do not have the education or knowledge of you know how we have come about, they can change things. And are we not close enough to a constitutional convention where, to use mixed metaphors, the whole ball game's up for grabs, including the Bill of Rights?
Well, that's a concern, I must say. The main concern is, as you suggested, even office holders, even politicians who are ignorant about the Constitution and how we've slipped away from it. That's a real danger.
Some people would say we're already there. You know, some people say it's already happened. So
yeah, when I hear some politicians saying that we should abolish the Electoral College, they say things mm-hmm. that make me think they don't understand how we got it and why we'd have it and what purpose it serves. And that's dangerous. I mean, they could know all that and still disagree and think it should be abolished, but I don't get the sense that they understand what function it plays. You know, if we did get rid of the Electoral College, which frankly cannot happen because it would take an amendment that 38 states would have to agree to, but if that were to happen, then every presidential election would be determined by a few large states, and candidates wouldn't even bother to campaign in other states. It would set us on a really dangerous course, I think. We can see that from some other countries that have that don't have any check on the popular vote, and they experience very volatile swings from one party to another, forming the government, and great instability in their law as a result.
Not only a few large states in terms of the Electoral College, if we were to abolish it, but a few large cities could essentially dictate how things run.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be worth anyone's time to campaign outside of the largest cities in the country. That's absolutely right.
That's right.
But a constitutional convention, I think, is not very likely. I haven't been keeping close tabs on it, so I may be wrong about that. But it seems to be favored by people with lots of different, very specific things they want to accomplish, and no one of which is widely popular.
Essentially, ideologues and dogma come into this. So,
yeah,
there we go.
But I think if we were given a constitution that I think is correctly described by one of the people in the program as perhaps the greatest secular document ever written, and we have allowed our institutions to stray from that, to erode it, to diminish the protection that for our liberties that is built into the structure of the Constitution, and that is a real danger. That's a great danger.
How so? You say that you know we have allowed it to happen. How so? Can you give a few examples?
Well, the Congress, of course, is full of ambitious people, and it's rather ironic. One would think they're always trying to aggrandize their power, but actually, what they've done is delegate their power. So much of the legislative power is now exercised not by the Congress, not by our representatives, the people who we elect, but by faceless bureaucrats at administrative agencies who have been told by the Congress, you have the authority now, go ahead, issue regulations that have the force of law, and we won't, that way we won't have to vote up or down on them. So they can say, let's all have clean air. Who wants to vote for clean air? Well, everyone wants to vote for that. But then implementing it requires some real trade-offs and burdens that have to be borne by individuals and by companies and by regions of the country. And that comes out of the regulations coming from the administrative agencies, like the Environmental Protection Agency. And even though it might be an extremely significant regulation and it might cost more than $100 million every year, nonetheless, the Congress doesn't have to vote on it. So they're not making our laws. The agencies are making our laws. That is not what was intended, and that means we don't have a democratic check on them. We can't diselect them. That's a complete departure from the scheme of the Constitution. And the Supreme Court has blessed it. They've said that's okay. Well, you know, if you think the document was worth preserving, then that's not okay. We need to be following the original meaning of the Constitution. You know, we just went through a long public debate over impeachment, and I thought it was really interesting that even though both sides in that debate in the Senate and in the House had their own agenda and objective, each side did, nobody pretended that they could alter the Constitution. They were all arguing over what does it mean. It gives certain grounds that can be the basis for impeachment, and they were arguing over what the limits of those grounds are. Well, that's appropriate. That's the kind of debate that they should be having, and I was very proud of them. But it's not what normally happens, particularly in the Supreme Court. And the Congress is prone to enacting laws that they have a real doubt about whether they're even constitutional, and then leaving it up to the court to decide.
Judge Ginsburg, I'm coming up on time here. What did you learn by doing these three parts of this series?
Well, I learned a number of things, one of which was just how far we have strayed from the original meaning of the Constitution. I've learned that there is a significant segment of the public that is aware of and concerned about these things, but unfortunately I don't think it's far from the majority. And I've gotten an even greater appreciation of just how brilliant the Constitution is in trying to harness human nature and contain ambition. It's failed in some ways, but we're still relatively free in this country.
Judge Ginsburg, I'm down to mere seconds. One question here. Some people call the Constitution a living document, a living, breathing document. Is it?
The idea that the Constitution is a living Constitution is just an excuse for saying it's okay for the Supreme Court to amend it. A really living Constitution is one that's adhered to, and that requires the people to vote when the Constitution is to be amended, not the Supreme Court.
Where do we find out more? I'm sure these programs are coming up soon.
It's a more or less public union. It'll be on your public television stations everywhere. Just look to them for the timing. It can be streamed from freetochoosenetwork.org/constitution or from pbs.org. And it's reflected in the companion volume, Voices of Our Republic, which is available wherever books are sold.
Judge Ginsburg, I thank you for a few minutes out. It's been an honor to talk to you, and best of luck to you, Sue.
Thank you so much, Ken. I really appreciate it.